Okay. So welcome, John. I will go ahead and also introduce Anthony because this is more of an informal conversation where you guys can just start answering questions after you tell your own story in your own words. So Anthony Salato has joined us, and he founded, and please, Anthony, help me with this, Delphinus Financial Advisors, after more than 20 years leading and managing international software development teams. This prior experience included senior and VP level technology roles at companies ranging from dot-com startups to Fortune 500 giants. Despite successfully growing his career in technology, Anthony became determined to use his skills and experience to help individuals and families improve their lives rather than help corporations improve their bottom lines. With a long-term interest, passion, and energy around personal finances, and after many years of informally advising friends and family on all things financial, the creation of Delphinus Financial Advisors was a natural decision. So, Anthony, why don't we go ahead and start with you, and you can kind of tell your story and let our members know, or our prospects know, how you got interested and were able to join ACA, and then, John, you can go ahead and do the same, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. Does that sound good?
That works for me.
Perfect.
All right. Well, welcome, Michelle, Brent, and Scott. This is Anthony. I've got a very different background than John does, as you've probably already observed from the introductions that Kim just read. I spent the first 20-some-odd years of my career in technology, specifically in software development, and I, in that role, have been executive-level leadership in software companies leading worldwide international-based teams. Kind of traveling the world and leading large teams. That was fun for 10 or 15 years, and then I decided I kind of wanted to do something different. One of my goals has always been to start my own company, and I always thought that that would be in software because that is what I've known for my career. But I had another goal, which was actually to help people and more specifically help individuals and families achieve their goals. And then the third thing for me, besides wanting my own company, wanting to help people more directly, was I've always had an interest and passion around personal finance, specifically for myself and managing my own situation, my own retirement savings, my own children's education savings, my own insurance and estate planning and everything else, doing my own taxes. So combining those three things together, several years ago, I decided to make a career shift, and I went back to school, and I got a certificate in financial planning from Boston University. I then studied for and took the CFP exam last summer, and I did pass it the first time. I was real happy about that. I took it last July. And actually, while I was going back to school, while I was still in the CFP program at BU, I decided to actually hang my shingle before I actually took the CFP. And I knew that I could not, you know, start from really no background in accounting, no background in CPA. I think Kim just said John had 24 years of background in CPA land. I've got no background in accounting. So I knew that I couldn't just go off and do that on my own. At the same time, I didn't want to get a job for one of the bigger companies or, you know, fee-based or commission-based or a broker-dealer. I didn't want to work in that kind of world. So I was looking for organizations that I could join to help me get my business off the ground. And I considered ACA, of course, and I considered Garrett Financial Network or whatever their official name is at that time. But after comparing Garrett with ACA, it became obvious to me that the ACA business model, the ACA tools, the ACA people were really much more in line with my thinking, and I joined ACA last March. I did hang up my shingle and open my business as a sole proprietor last April, and I have been successfully signing clients since last April. I currently have 12 full retainer clients, and if, I assume you guys have talked to Kim and know what an ACA full retainer client means. If not, I'd be happy to explain. But I have signed one client a month for the last 12 months, and that's been perfect for me because during this period, actually, I've been maintaining my previous full-time job working in technology, and I am now beginning a transition out of that world into a full-time financial planning role with my new business. But that is how I got here. I can say that there is no way I could have been successful in transitioning from a totally different technology career to this career without ACA and ACA's backing. I can also say that I wouldn't have had the confidence in the financial aspects, even though I had just come through the BU program in financial planning, even though I had passed the CFP exam. The people in ACA gave me the ability to, or the confidence to go out and support all my new clients, all my new customers, regardless of who they were or what they wanted. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we get into the call here. But I say to every one of my prospects, I am a one-man shop, but I have 180, or is it 200 now, Kim? You know, I say I've got 180 partners around the country who've been using the same model that I'm presenting you with today for the past 20 or 25 years, and there are thousands of happy customers. And that really goes a long way towards satisfying any of their concerns if they're concerned with me being a small independent shop. So maybe I'll stop there and either answer questions or give it to John. But the bottom line is I could not have gotten where I am today if it wasn't for ACA.
Well, that's a good summary, Anthony. This is John DiCepoli. For as different as Anthony seems to think that we came to Cambridge, the ACA, much of what he said applies to me as well. Just the path to there is probably just a little different. As Kim stated, you know, I was in public accounting for a number of years and then was a controller for mutual fund companies for a number of years and then ended up with a high net worth money management firm. But had always maintained an interest in working with people on the personal finance level. So I had heard of Burt Whitehead. In one of the industry rags, investment advisor or something like that, way back in the late 90s, and then I just decided, you know what, I'd like to do this on my own, but don't really have any idea of how to get started. I did, you know, as is very typical of me, and my wife can probably joke about this, you know, I don't go out and buy a new washer and dryer without doing my research, Consumer Reports. I did the same thing with this. And that Nancy Langdon Jones had a book called So You Want to Be a Financial Planner. I got that. There's a number of I'm staring over at my bookshelf right now. There's one by Dina Katz. There's So You Want to Be a Financial, another one, How to Get Started in Financial Planning. And I'd read all those books and knew of the Alliance of Cambridge Advisors. And as Anthony said, too, Garrett was getting a lot of press. So I explored both of those, and I went to the NAPFA conference. And interestingly enough, I was working with a financial planner here. I had my own financial planner, and one day, you know, in doing the goal setting with them, they said, "Well, what would you like? You know, is there any goals that you have for yourself?" I said, "I would like to own my own business," and they said, "Oh yeah, what type?" I said, "Well, I want to do what you guys are doing," and they were NAPFA members, and. So they said, well, the best thing you can do is go to the NAPFA conference and just meet people. So that's what I did. I went up to in the spring of 2004, went to the NAPFA conference up in Toronto. With the help of my planner, they introduced me to as many people that they thought I should meet, that would be good for me to meet and talk to. And I went there looking to talk to as many Garrett and as many ACA members as I could to sort of assess which model I wanted to work with. Because in doing my research, I felt like just going out on my own and trying to develop the systems, it just seemed to me that for what barrier to entry, the fee for either Garrett or the Alliance of Cambridge Advisors didn't seem all that high. Because, I mean, my wife at the time was, so she's self-employed, and we looked, and we had put some money into getting her business started, and I'd looked at, you know, owning a franchise of, you know, who knows what, and you know, the amount of money that's involved, the initial seed money for all those endeavors is pretty high, and for becoming a financial planner, it wasn't all that high, but I did want to spend my money wisely. So at that conference, I came away just the same way with that Anthony said. I actually went to that conference thinking Garrett was probably more of the way I wanted to operate, but came away fully convinced after meeting many people from both organizations that clearly the ACA was how I like to operate. And that is, I like to build relationships. I like to get to know people. In fact, I have a hard time when I'm writing up my meeting notes. Sometimes I write we when I need to differentiate. It's not we because I'm not a part of their financials or their financial plan. But so I have to, even to this day, I have to check myself from writing we. And to this day, I joined in, I went to an ACA conference in the fall of 2004 at the conference I joined, the ACA, and then I got started with my ADV and all that good stuff in 2005. And so here it is 5 or 6 years later. I'm still a solo shop. Just like Anthony said, I use that exact same line. I say, look it, this is it. These four walls are deceptively financial planning. However, I don't feel like I'm by myself. I feel like I have 150 or 180, whatever the number is, partners, and they come from a variety of backgrounds. You know, I said, look, I was a controller for a mutual fund company, worked in a high net worth firm. There's former and current attorneys, former doctors. There's software people. There's high tech folks. There's teachers. There's, you know, all whole variety, and that background gives us the breadth and depth that I think is unrivaled, and we get a wide range of ideas. So with that as a background, that's how I came to join the Alliance of Cambridge Advisors, and I'm sure that many of the questions that you guys still have, Michelle, Scott, and Brent, Anthony and I encountered, and so whatever questions you have, between Anthony, Kim, and I, I'm hopeful that we can answer them for you.
So, Scott or Brent or Michelle, do you have any questions? I think, Michelle, you had a couple questions that you had asked me, and I thought it'd be best to wait and have these guys answer for you, right?
Yeah. I guess one question I have is about, you know, you both mentioned the community of advisors and how, you know, it's a group that you can turn to.
Mm-hmm.
How, in a nuts and bolts way, how does that work? Is it a kind of an online forum that you have? If you throw out a client-related question, do you generally get a lot of high-quality responses fairly quickly?
Well, I'll take that one. Yeah, we do. The way we have there's the discussion forum, and so oftentimes I'll do a quick search first to see if my question has maybe already been discussed in the discussion forum. But oftentimes either it has been or it's not exactly what I'm looking for, and I'll make mention. Okay. Here's my, I'll give a little background. Here's my situation. Here's what I'm looking for. And also to help the community within the discussion forum, I'll say, here's what I'm thinking. Can you help me out? And oftentimes, if I don't get exactly the answer that I need, at least I get an answer that points me in the right direction or pushes me further down the path. But, you know, oftentimes I get an answer the same day. Or, like, I get all my discussion forums sent to me automatically every day. Once I get a daily summary. You can set it to have a daily summary. You can set it to have immediate, you know, anytime anyone posts something, it comes to you in an email. So I know that usually within 24 hours, because I know a lot of other people have it sent as a daily digest, you know, that's when they see it, is when they're reviewing their daily digest, and then the postings will come from there. But even more so than that, too, is once you get to know the community, you know, there's nothing wrong with either emailing someone directly or calling someone directly if you've built up a relationship with them. But I personally like to use the forum to post it publicly because I bet, you know, if it's a question that I have, other people might have it. And then there's that institutional memory at that point, it's documenting it on the discussion forum. But, and oftentimes the discussion forum will say, if you have other questions, call me, you know, when someone answers it. And sometimes it's just too verbose to post. So you follow up with a conversation. And you know, so there's I'm never afraid of tackling a new topic, and I'll tell that to my clients. So, well, I don't have any experience in that directly, but maybe some, one of my other ACA members do, and I'll post it. And I'll tell them I'm posting it. You know, sometimes I'll post it right in front of them so they can see how I'm wording a question.
Wow. Thank you.
Hmm?
Hey, this is Anthony. I can back up and confirm everything John just said, but let me say, as a new member, you know, I attended my first ACA conference last fall, and one thing I noticed right away walking into this new conference was everybody seemed to know each other, and there was lots of, you know, hugs and greetings and relationships that the ACA community has built with each other over the years. And as a new member, I didn't have all those relationships, but I felt so welcomed by people who said, you know, here's my name, here's my number, here's my card, feel free to reach out to me. And I think a lot of people, quite frankly, in the world say that kind of thing, but either don't really mean it, or, you know, or if someone says that to me, I don't often feel like I really want to follow up, like they really want me to. But I walked away with it from ACA conference with probably 10 names, five of which I've called in the past 6 months, and they were all very happy to spend an hour with me on the phone or whatever it took to help me through the topic. So the forum is wonderful, like John said, but again, the connections and the relationships with each other are really there, and I've just never ceased to be impressed with how many people will spend time with you. I mean, what does an advisor in Colorado have to gain from spending an hour on the phone with me?
Yeah.
Okay, but they do, and they're willing to, and it's real.
And Michelle, along those same lines, as someone who's been around for 5 or 6 years, I'll see a new member post something, and then it's just so wonderful. As Kim alluded to, I do a happy dance when my clients leave. I do it's the same thing as someone who's been around at the ACA for 5 or 6 years. When I see a new member post something that is clearly, wow, that's really insightful, you know, boy, am I glad they've become a new member. This person's going to be someone who can really contribute to the forum, because whatever their life experiences are. And it's amazing how Anthony is a perfect example. Here he is, you know, a year later, and he's hosting one of these calls because, you know, he jumped right in and became a not only someone who was asking questions on the forum, but also contributing answers to the forum. And lo and behold, you know, Kim saw that and pegged him as someone to do one of these calls. So mm-hmm. It's a two-way thing. You get to contribute as well as a new member. If that's something you want to do, other people takes some time. It takes them a year or two to get to sort of get to the point of giving back, and that's fine. There's no pressure on you either way.
Any other questions?
Yes, this is Scott. I have one for both Anthony and John. I'm trying to get a sense for what I'm going to call the one of the classic unfair questions. Can you both tell me, in your own words, what your average client is, you know, basic demographic information, and then do you think that average is representative? And in my mind, I see a bell curve. So what I'm asking you is, how flat is the bell curve?
You want to take that first, Anthony?
Is the client 50 years old and they're, you know, the classic issues, pre-retirement, some basic insurance issues, and does that represent 50% of your client base, or does it represent 10% of your client base?
Well, I'm sure John's answer will be, well, I don't know, we'll see, but John's might be different. He's got more clients. I've got 12 right now. What I can tell you is I've got, out of my 12, I've got couples in their early 30s who are buying their first home and have infant, you know, babies around. I've got clients in their 40s who are trying to figure out how they're going to put the kids through school. For some of them, it's pretty late to be asking that question, but they are. I've got clients in their 50s who are trying to retire in 3 or 4 or 5 years and wondering if they can. I've got clients in their 60s who are saying, oh, we're going to make it through retirement, and which type of Medicare, you know, should I sign up for? And I've got clients in their late 70s who have been retired for 20 years and just planning out the rest of their life. So I from an age point of view, my clients span the brackets. I also have traditionally married couples. I've got single men. I've got single women. I've got a gay male client. I've got a recently divorced female client. So I'm not sure that this is typical. We'll see what John says. But some people have told me I need to specialize and should specialize. I'm quite happy now with 12 rather unique clients because they all bring different challenges and concerns to my office, and that's keeping me very interested. As far as the financial side of it, I don't have any clients who family-wise gross less than about 100K, so they're all in the six figures. And some of them go up to about 250 right now. And net worth is about the same. I've got some clients with about a 250K net worth up to a couple million-dollar net worth. So I've got a wide variety. I don't really see it. I guess it's flat in that sense that there's really no peak for me right now. What do you think, John?
You know, I have one main clientele, and I refer to them as validators. So they could be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, as Anthony referred to, but my client base is, I label them as validators. And what that means to me is they're, you know, as Bert's book says, they're, you know, smart people that might be doing stupid things with money. They're all smart people that have been doing things on their own for some time, and they just have gotten to the point where they say, you know what, I'm afraid I might be messing this thing up. I'm willing to pay someone to work with someone. That probably covers a good 60 to 80% of my clients. They fall into that category where they've just reached a point where they said, you know what, I want some help. Okay? And that's a wonderful relationship because, you know, I oftentimes do validate that they've been doing things well, but when working with me, I bring an awful lot of efficiency to the equation. I tell them, what I do is I try and, first of all, have you avoid life's potholes, and for what potholes you've hit, we try and fill those potholes in and just make it a smoother ride. And then that's where the relationship is built. Is in that that we work together. And in a lot of ways, that's a way of me keeping my fees down, too, because I still let them do, they do a lot of the execution because they've always done it themselves. They just want someone to give them that guiding hand. Now, outside of the validators, I have clients just like Anthony had mentioned. I have, you know, some new couples that, you know, just want to get off on the right foot. I have couples that are either nearing retirement or in retirement, that they just want what I refer to as almost like a financial tune-up or financial checkup, just like that commercial on TV now with, I think it's an ING commercial where the guy's carrying around his number. And what's your number? And he jokes to his neighbor who's cutting the hedges, you know, I have no idea what my number is. It's a gazillion. So I have people that are like that where they're just like, they want to go through the whole what-ifs of, you know, am I on track? What's going on? Am I going to be there? You know, am I going to run out of money and things of that nature? But for the, I don't have a lot of clients that are the true delegators. I just don't attract those clients. But there's a reason for that. Here in Cincinnati, we actually have a very strong NAPFA membership. There's probably a dozen NAPFA firms here in Cincinnati, and when I got my start, I went around to all the other NAPFA firms, and I said, I don't have a minimum. I'll work with, anyone, but that's probably not true. There is that danger of working only with, you know, anyone that'll fog a mirror just because you need to bring in income when you first get started. It's probably true, but you also want to be a little selective and just not take anyone, and we can talk about that if you want, or that'll definitely be something if you join that you'll talk about in the in training and in the marketing aspect of the training program. But there's other firms in town that work with the delegators, the ones that just want to turn over their assets to the NAPFA advisor and they manage the money for them and all that. I have worked in a firm that was like that, and I didn't care for that relationship that much, so not only do I attract people that are validators, those are the folks I want to work with. So to my point to Anthony might be that, you know, it's fine that you're working with a whole bunch of people. I don't think you need to specialize, but at some point you probably will find that there's a group that you naturally like working with. But that takes time, and I wouldn't expect that you figure that out in the first 12 months. You know, I didn't know that until probably 3 years into it. So, does that help you answer your question?
It sure does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Brent. I might follow up with another question on that to the both of you. As far as especially starting out in the first year or two, how well did you kind of stay to the real full retainer model where you're trying to meet, you know, a half a dozen times that first year to cover all the financial planning aspects versus maybe doing more financial tune-ups, maybe doing the tax returns and tax planning? How did that all work as far as being able to do the retainer and maintain additional business in following years?
Since I've been around a little longer, I'll take that first, Anthony, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Is that Brent?
Yes.
It's interesting. My advice is listen to the folks that are doing the training with the ACA. They do a great job of helping you sort through those questions. I would say in my first year, I attracted more full retainer clients than I did project retainer clients. And I don't know where I went off track. And then I'm just being blunt and just completely honest with you guys. In year two and three, I don't know whether it was a lack of confidence or, you know, wavering of confidence or whatever, but for whatever reason, I ended up attracting a lot more project retainers. And then here's another benefit of the ACA. I recognized that was a problem. There was a mastermind type group that started up, and I joined that. And then at one of the conferences, people started talking about study groups and how study groups can really help you. Well, lo and behold, me and one of the other gals from my starting class got to talk to me. Said, "You know what? We really should let's do a study group, and we'll just address each other's strengths and weaknesses." I've been a member of this study group for going on 2 years now. There's five of us. We have somewhat diverse, different practices, but I can tell you that as a direct result of that study group and those folks giving me feedback, we meet. We try and meet once a month on a conference call, and then we try and meet once a year in person, whether it's at a conference or outside of a conference. That those folks have been more helpful to me than anyone else. And I have been, you know, knock on my synthetic wood desk here, I've been attracting a lot of project retainer clients in this last year, and I've actually seen my business more than double already in 2011 from probably what it was in 2009. And that's probably a direct result of the. It's not even coaching. It's because it's like-minded peers, and we just go over. You know, they're like, "John, what is your problem? You're great at this and that, and just pitch them full retainer clients. Don't even look at them as project retainers unless it's plainly obvious." And that's been a great boost for my confidence. I've worked on my delivery of presentation. So, you know, it's really up to you how you handle it. And like I said, just being completely honest, you know, I started off pretty well, hit a little slump, and now I'm, you know, here it is, you know, 5 and 6 years into it, and I'm still working on how I do my job, my business.
That's interesting, John. As a new ACA member, I felt like ACA drilled into me pretty strongly in the beginning through the training and the intro material that, you know, the way to build a successful long-term business that works for me as well as for the client is largely through the retainer model. So I kind of took that to heart. And one of the reasons I did not join Garrett is because they are an hourly model, and I'm sure that works for some advisors, and I'm sure that definitely works for some clientele. But to me, my way of looking at that is I would always be looking for my next hour work. I'd always be looking for my next client. And one confidence that ACA gave me was that when you do get a retainer client, most of those retainer clients renew every year. And I've heard numbers in the high 90s that once a retainer client signs, they renew year after year after year. I can tell you guys now that my first clients who I signed a year ago are now beginning to renew. So 100% of them so far, which is only three, but 100% of them so far have renewed with me for a second year now. So I took to heart the message of the retainer client, and I really went out there to I don't like to use the word sell, actually, but I guess it's the right word. I went out there to sell retainer clients only. And I'm not saying that if I talked to someone who was an obvious project client, I would turn them away, but my motivation, I look for ways to justify not only to myself but to the client the retainer system. And it's worked really well. And, that also matches my belief and also what John was saying about the relationship with the client. I firmly believe kind of ACA gospel types of things that financial planning is not an event. It's not something that happens once. You don't leave my office with a very expensive leather-bound book and, good luck for the rest of your life. Good luck implementing this. It's a continuous stream of keeping the client current with what's happening in the world as well as what's happening with their lives, and both the world and their lives are changing. So I kind of like that model. I like to develop the relationships, and I like the fact that I can kind of count on where my revenue is going to come from next month and next year and 5 years out. So I've been pretty successful working only on the retainer model.
Good.
Good for you, Anthony. And I will say, I think that the and Kim, you've probably been around for even longer than I have. We've seen the training improve each and every year as well. And that's not to say that it was ever not good, but it's definitely improved over the years. And a lot of that improvement has come from really, really good feedback from people that have gone through the training. And I think, even some of the stuff, like I had said, I went through this thing where I was doing more project work. I made sure that I let folks know that in the training, and I think as Anthony is a perfect example of, they've made an emphasis to make sure that re-emphasizing that full retainer, open retainer model is what needs to be emphasized. And I'm glad to hear that it was drilled into your head, Anthony, and it's worked well for you.
Yeah, it really was. What they really stress in the ACA training is for your first 10 clients, just do it the ACA way. Don't question the ACA way. Don't try to modify it. Don't try to tweak it, because it is a proven model that has worked for hundreds of advisors over, 20-plus years. So it really does work. Not for every client, not for every person out there, but it is a model that works. So why tweak it? And I think what ACA has found is the people who tweak it too much in the beginning are the ones who have trouble getting started. Now, having said that, and I'm sure John will attest, one thing I noticed when I joined the ACA is all the advisors are very different. I think we're all, good, honest, ethical, friendly, relationship-based people. We're all fee-only. I mean, there's a lot we have in common. But having said that, there's a lot where we differ as well, not only in our approach to the business, but in our approach to, finances and how to invest. There is a big diversity of that within ACA, which also keeps it interesting. But again, coming back to, follow the model for the first 10 clients, and then as you get good at it and you learn it, then you can begin tweaking it for who you are and the kind of business you want and the kind of investments you want to make.
Yeah, I would second that, because as I'm always, the one thing that was drilled in my head was by Linda Leitz, one of our favorite famous teachers. Your job until you get 15 clients is to get 15 clients. So when you guys join and go to training and you hear that, you can say, yeah, I remember that. That guy on that call said that. And I agree with Anthony. This is not because we want you to drink the Kool-Aid or whatever, but as Anthony indicated, it's a proven model. It does work. And if you just stick with it before you start saying, I'm smarter than all the people that have gone before me, just stick with the model, and then over time you'll develop your own style of delivering that model. Now, that might be a tweak, or it just might be your style in delivering it. And I will tell you, here I am 5 or 6 years later, I'm still about as pure Cambridge as the next member. I only use the Cambridge tools for the most part. I still do the meeting recommendations, very similar to the ones I used in my NAPFA plan, which were right off the Cambridge training model. So you can go a long way for your initial investment. I look at the ACA as my first employee. I to this day I don't have any employees, and if I was to have an employee, the first one I would get would be a virtual assistant. I probably wouldn't hire an individual just yet. Not just because I like to keep my life a little simpler, as Kim alluded to in my intro. I like to volunteer at church and coach my kids, and I have a lot of things where certainly an assistant might be helpful to allow me to do that. But the freedom of not having an employee allows me to have that freedom, and I pretty much just stick to the Cambridge model all the way through.
And John, that you bring up a good point, because not everybody does, which doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's what works for them. So you can actually take the Cambridge model and fit it to what you like, but at first, like John was saying, he hasn't had a reason to change it. But you will end up talking to some members who have tweaked something here or there, and it's still working.
Yeah, just even like with financial planning software, there's tons of members within Cambridge that use MoneyGuide Pro. Well, great. MoneyGuide Pro is great. I even think they have a MoneyGuide Pro user form on the discussion forum. Well, great. I don't. I still just use the Cambridge model, Cambridge Pyramid. That's fine. I may move to the MoneyGuide Pro at some point, but who knows? But it's, everyone has their own way of delivering the message, I guess.
I think that's the second time somebody's mentioned the Cambridge Pyramid. What is that?
That is just a presentation tool for mostly for showing investments and comparing that to asset allocation and what we refer to as functional asset allocation. It's a tool for showing net worth. I don't know how best. What other way would you describe that, Kim and Anthony?
It's part of the Cambridge system and what ACA calls their core tools. So mm-hmm. when you join, there are certain core tools that were created to help you implement the Cambridge system, and that's one of them.
It's an Excel-based macro-enabled spreadsheet, to be technical.
Yeah.
Why am I saying that, Anthony? You're the software guy.
No, you're right, John. What I would say is I just came out of my CFP training classes at BU, about a year ago, year and a half ago. And that program and the whole CFP process and the exam really talks to you about the technicalities of what's a stock and what's a bond and what's an investment and what is insurance and what's a, grant or trust. All the technical things in our field. But they really don't talk to you or teach you in any way about how to put it all together and present it to a client and turn it into a financial plan. And really, that's what we're doing here. So all the books that I read in that program were great background, but I needed a model. I needed a system. I needed a way to present it all in a logical, framework and format. And that is exactly what ACA gave me. So the pyramid is just one piece of that, although it's a critical piece. And it's the way we collect all of the assets and all of the liabilities of our clients and then present them back to our clients in a way that they can understand. So it kind of takes sometimes what's a mess of assets and liabilities all over the place, the different vendors, different custodians, different banks, and brings it into a way that the client can say, oh, I see I've got no emergency fund, or I see that I've got very tax inefficient investments, or I see I've got no or too much real estate. Or it gives you that model to have the conversation with the client.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for explaining that to me, Anthony. I'm just so used to using it, I forget that that's actually what it's for.
Yeah, and the pyramid has five levels, and we talk about, like any pyramid, you want the foundation to be in good shape first. That's the bottom foundation level of the pyramid, and there's five pieces to it. When you get those five in good shape with the right ratios and balances between them, then you move up to the second level where there's four pieces to that level and three pieces above it. So it gives you this visual model, and it is, like John said, it's an Excel-based tool. It's not too complicated, but it's a, you know, honestly, Burt Whitehead, who John mentioned earlier, I think Burt is a genius, and I don't know why Burt hasn't won, I don't know, some kind of Nobel Prizes in finance, because, you know, you follow his ACA model, and it's what most of our clients and most of the world, in my opinion, really need. But it's, on the other hand, really very simple. So that's the beauty of it. It's this, it's an extremely simple model, but yet it solves what most people in the country need.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have any other questions?
I have another question. I think both of you referred to going to conferences prior to really making the decision. And I actually thinking last minute of going to the NAPA conference in Salt Lake City next week, and I would assume that if I were to join ACA in the next month that I might want to target the September conference. I think that's in Kansas City or St. Louis.
Yeah.
What are your folks' thoughts on going to these conferences before you're through the program?
Well, I can tell you, I actually joined ACA last March, I believe it was. I opened my business in April, and I went to the very first conference last October. So I started with ACA. I started with the self-training through ACA last March. I then went to the conference in October, and then actually I went to the ACA training just this past December. So I kind of did it a little bit backwards. Having said that, in my mind, the ACA annual conference is the one conference I will get to every single year, come hell or high water. And then I look at the NAPFA conferences as a really good supplement for a second conference to travel to each year. You know, I think if you're interested in joining ACA, it would be a great way to meet the people and get more in-depth about what ACA offers. So
yeah.
Hopefully you'll join ACA prior to then, but if not, join us at the conference.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm chuckling because the one conference I will not miss is the ACA conference. I'm telling you, it's in the middle of football season. I'm a big college football fan, so it's a big deal for me to go, as Kim knows. Come that Saturday, I'm watching a football game somewhere, and sometimes it's good for me, and sometimes I catch an awful lot of heat like I did this past year. Anyway, it's the one conference I will not miss. It is whenever it comes out, I etch it in stone in my calendar. NAPFA conference, I go about every 3 or 4 years. I really wanted to go to this one in Salt Lake City. I thought that the program was very good. I just had a scheduling conflict that didn't allow me to go. As far as going before joining, I did that. I went on my own to both NAPFA. Like Anthony, I was fully employed at the time, but I wanted to see, did I want to make the move to going out on my own? Coming away from the NAPFA conference, I said yes, which put me in a different mindset at work at that point. You know, I knew I was a short-timer at work. I was getting my ducks in a row to go out on my own. And then I went to the ACA conference, again, on my own. I paid my own way and joined. Now, Kim, before I misspeak, I think there's avenues by which folks can attend the conference now that I don't think was available when I did that. I think I was actually one of the first ones to do that. So I do think there's ways for you to attend the conference before becoming a member. it's a great, you know, look at, you'll see what Anthony and I are talking about. It's not like it's some cult or anything. It's just really a group of people that love getting together and sharing ideas, and it really is an open exchange of ideas. I come away every year with, oh my gosh, I didn't, just like this call. Hey, that was a great explanation of the pyramid by Anthony. Hadn't thought of it that way before. You know, just little aha moments like that throughout the conference. And quite frankly, as you know, in marketing or otherwise, just being a business professional, oftentimes the best stuff isn't during the conference. It's the walk to the conference. It's the walk in the elevator. It's sitting by the pool on the half day of the conference when you're just talking to someone that pays, you know, that makes the conference worth going to. So, yes, if you want to do it before joining, I think that's fine. But certainly after I've become a member, our own conference is the one I will not miss for all those reasons I indicated.
As far as trying to help you make your decision, Brent, I know we have some great members, not that there are any bad members, but we have some very good seasoned members attending the NAPFA conference next week. And it is next week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have all agreed, if anybody like yourself who was interested in ACA, they all agreed they would love to go out to dinner. And if you are trying to make a decision, I would highly recommend that. There's being able to talk to people in person is way different than being on the phone. I mean, these conversations are great, but there's just something more that you get out of it. And so if you do that, let me know, and I'll make sure that they know, and, you know, I'll introduce you via email so you guys can set up a time or a place where to meet. But if you can swing it, I would.
I did that, and that's what made my decision to join the ACA over Garrett. Plus, anytime I've gone to a NAPFA conference, just like Kim just described, I've offered to take anyone out to dinner or meet somewhere during the conference, just sort of my way of helping out. You know, it's, as Kim said, looking someone in the eye is different than talking on the phone. And I think we do a good job on these, but, you know, if you're going, Brent, definitely meet with folks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We've got a few more minutes if you guys have any final questions. Now's the time to ask, and then we can close the call. And hopefully, I know it's taking up a lot of your guys' time today, but if you, the three of you, want to actually see what the pyramid looks like or anything that the members see, I'm giving that webinar today at 2. Well, 2 Pacific, sorry. So 5 Eastern.
Okay, I'll see you at 5 Eastern.
Perfect.
Bye-bye.
I'll join you at 5 Eastern as well. Thank you.
Okay, no more questions then for John or Anthony?
Make sure that you guys, when you're exploring everything, feel free to ask as many questions, and I'm sure that Kim will do a great job of talking about all the different things that ACA has to offer that we didn't even get a chance to touch on today, you know, whether that's, you know, more about the training, more about how we work with NAPA, some of our vendors that you guys get access to as being an ACA member. There's lots of other things that we really didn't even touch on,
mm-hmm.
but all make the transition to you either starting your own business or transitioning your business to a fee-only. Again, I don't really know all your all's backgrounds, but we do a pretty good job of trying to help you guys. Anyway, it's our goal is for you guys to be profitable and then to be contributing members to the larger group. When the time is right for you guys. So if you guys become members, which I hope you all do, please introduce yourself to me, and I look forward to hearing more from you guys.
Thank you.
I'd really like to thank both John and Anthony for taking the time. And like John said, if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask. There's no dumb question. There's no question that's too hard. I don't claim to know it all, but I can go out to our membership to find the answers for you.
And I'll throw out there as well that if there's any questions that you think of after the call, and you know, I'd be happy to speak to you privately or have an email communication, and Kim can go ahead and give you my contact information if that would help.
Okay, well, thank you all very, very much for coming.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Good luck, everyone.
Thanks.